Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
This is Don McGuire, and welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm running a little bit behind here. Let's go ahead and get my mutual host, Mr. Barry Frost, on.
Hello?
Hey, Barry, this is Don with The Fighter's Voice. I apologize. It took me a little bit longer to get connected. Why don't you go ahead and explain to the listeners who we have on tonight while I go ahead and get our first guest on.
Yep, we have Antonio McKee, AJ McKee, and Baby Fly Swarm tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be one hell of a show. I apologize. I had a little bit of a hard time. I'm in the hospital. I had a little bit of a hard time getting the Wi-Fi connection set up, but we're going to go ahead and try to get Baby Slice on right now and see what we can do. Like I said, I'm in the hospital, so it was a little bit of a technical difficulty for me trying to get Wi-Fi connected safely so I don't get hacked, but we will jump into the show here momentarily as I finish putting the last digit. Let's go ahead and try this and see how things go. We might have to jump to Antonio first if Baby Slice don't answer.
Hello?
Hey, this is The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire and Barry Foss. How are you doing tonight, King Kevin Ferguson, a.k.a. Baby Slice?
So, how's it going?
Well, I'm in the hospital, man, so, but, you know, I'm a man of my word. I create a show, I do the show, I make it happen, you know, kind of like you did over there in Dublin, Ireland. How did this outing feel for King Kevin Ferguson, you know, getting that second win in a row over there in Ireland?
It felt good, man. It felt good. The hard work I put in, you know, the sacrifices I made paid off. So I'm just going to continue to put in that work and train hard, keep winning.
Most definitely. And you proved it to be quite productive. You know, each and every outing that you come out now, you seem to be, you know, more positive, more motivated. And, you know, you take things in that warrior type attitude that was in your father, and I can see it instilled in you, and it's coming out each and every fight more and more. When you look at, you know, look back at the career of your father, how much of yourself do you pay credit or homage to your dad that when you look at, you know, the ability that you have instilled in you?
Right. I would say every part of it, every part of me. You know, he molded me to be this guy I am, you know, today. Like, you know, if it was for him, I wouldn't be the way I am. It's all him. He gets all the credit for the way I am and the way I train and, you know, the way I carry myself. Goes to him for sure.
Yeah. You know, on the show with me tonight, my mutual host, Mr. Barry Frost. I'm going to go ahead and let Barry ask a few questions because I was running behind because I had a little bit of a hard time getting linked in. Barry, why don't you go ahead and start off with your question while I finish up this side?
Yeah, no problem. Kevin, you know, it's nice to talk to you, and congratulations on your big win this past weekend.
Thank you.
Now, you know, you've won your last two fights by KO and submission. How much do you feel that you've improved from your last fight to this fight?
I improved a lot, actually. You know, you can't really see it with just a minute and 30-40 seconds, you know, but I guess that shows that, you know, I improved, you know, because it was on the ground and I was able to finish him as soon as I saw an opening and a mistake. And I'm just getting better, man. Like, I'm evolving, you know, as the time goes by day, I'm getting better and better.
Absolutely. And with the training comes the timing and, you know, being able to see those mistakes faster and being able to capitalize on them. But, you just mentioned that, you know, you credit your dad with, you know, a lot of your success. And, you know, he had the persona, you know, that he was this big, you know, this big, bad, tough, mean, nasty guy. And then everybody you talk to is like, he's the nicest guy in the world. And, you know, do you feel like, you know, in today's MMA, you kind of have to have a gimmick or something like that to get noticed?
Yeah, I would say so, but the come up, the startup, you know, for him, that he had to be that kind of a guy, kind of a heavyweight. You know, heavyweights are known to be, you know, brutal and mean, so, you know, that's what I guess he had to be. But I guess talent speaks for itself, though. You know, I'm not the one to call out people or I'm not the one to call out people or talk a lot of trash, you know. I try to settle everything inside the cage and let my actions.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, like I said, you've got, you know, your last two wins, you've got two finishes. You know, you've definitely stepped up your game in all facets. And I think, you know, I think that here soon, another fight or two, I think you'll be knocking on one of the top, you know, two or three contenders and ready for a fight with them. Do you feel like in the next year or two you will be, I guess, prepared for, you know, one of those top two or three challengers?
Man, yeah, definitely, man. If I just stick to what I'm doing now, staying in the gym, you know, putting in this work, and yeah, I feel like no one will be able to stop me. You know, I hit hard, and I'm learning, getting better and better technique. You know, my ground game is pretty good. My ground and pound is good. You know, work more submission defense. And I feel like no one will be able to stop me. They won't be able to touch me. Definitely at 155, you know. And I'm going to just keep learning, you know, stick to what I'm doing. You know, staying focused, staying healthy. You know, staying in the gym. You know, right after the fight, you know, we landed Saturday. Monday, me and AJ, we were right back in the gym training, you know. Even today, we was in the gym training. So, you know, we're not taking no time off. You know, we're sticking with it.
Most definitely. You know, one thing that, you know, I took away from this last fight was, you know, we've relished in the fact, we've talked about the fact that Team Body Chef MMA is coming together. The creation of this team is totally growing and growing and growing. You know, how does it feel? Do you think that with the establishment of well-grounded wrestlers, different aspects of the sport, being perplexed in everyday training with the old-school knowledge of Antonio McKee, do you feel that those particulars are what is creating Team Body Shop MMA and perpetuating or propelling them into the forefront of the sport?
Yeah, definitely, man. We have a great wrestlers with Joey Davis, with Aaron Pico, and Coach Antonio. You know, just with those two guys along, our wrestling and our ground game is really good. And then Coach just put the, you know, finishing touches on it, teaches us to stand up and everything. You know, everything's just coming together good, and you know, we learn easy, and we, you know, we work hard. So I feel like, you know, no one to be able to stop nobody coming out of the body shop. You know. None of us, you know, that's in Bellator now. That's why we say the Bellator takeover, you know, is real. You know, that that means something. It's powerful. Because it is.
You know, it is. And, you know, I've been very fortunate, you know, from the beginning, you know, of the progression of Team Body Shop MMA, to watch it grow, to watch all these unique and different aspects of the sport come together. And, you know, one thing that I could say that I truly admire is that I've watched it be able to gel. I've watched it be, you know, to actually come to the forefront and become reality. And when you look at it in those aspects, as a fighter, what does it do for you and your mentality?
It motivates me. You know, it motivates me to keep training hard and keep grinding hard, because what our coach is teaching is working, you know. We all are winning. All of us won the last fight. Joey won his last fight. Pico won this last fight. And me and AJ won our last fight, you know. So, I mean, it speaks for itself. We just got to, you know, believe in our coach, listen to them, and put in their work, you know, and, you know, keep our bodies clean and healthy, and we'll be ready. We'll be prepared for anything that happens in there.
Yeah. Well, before I toss it back to Barry, you know, I just want to state that, you know, watching you in your last fight, I truly feel that, you know, I'll call you Baby Slice because that's what everybody likes to refer you, but I feel that Baby Slice truly, when you walked into the octagon this time, truly didn't have a doubt. You truly didn't have any disadvantage going through your mind. You didn't have any hindrance or anything that would, you know, in most fights, you know, people go into them and they speculate, they have different thoughts, but I think this was the most poignant Baby Slice that we've seen to date. I don't think anything could have set you off on your game that night. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, man. You said it perfectly. Like, that's it. That's how I felt walking in there. You know, I knew I was going to get that W. I just didn't know how. I knew I was going to get it. I was going to finish him. That was my game plan. And if I didn't finish him, he would have been hurt really bad. He would have been hurt. He would have not wanted to fight anymore. You probably would have seen them throwing a towel for the first time in MMA, honestly. And that's with anyone I fight. Anyone. You know, if I'm connecting and I'm landing, you know, it's going to be a problem for them. You know, they're going to be hurt. They're going to be hurt. It's just that simple. You know, I'm starting to, I know that I know my tools. I know, you know, my strong part to the game. You know, I know what to do. I know how to hit now. You know, I know I have power. I know if I hit someone, they won't be able to take it, and if they do take it, they're going to be hurt bad. And if it goes to the ground, I'm going to try to cut them open with elbows and then and let them and make them make a mistake, and then when they make that mistake, I'm going to capitalize.
Well, you certainly pulled off a tremendous submission in this fight. I think it was the best Baby Slice I've seen to date. You know, Barry, what were your thoughts when you watched this fight, and how would you like to emulate that to Kevin?
Yeah, I like I told him earlier, I was very impressed by his performance. But let me ask you this, Kevin. You know, some of the guys that come in with a name or, you know, they're the son of a star, some of them kind of get the big head, and you seem so grounded and willing to listen and willing to learn from your coaches. How important is it for you to be with a team and a coach that you actually, you know, respect and admire?
You know, that's really important. You know, I feel like that's the most important part of being a fighter is your coach, you know, because however your coach acts and however they teach you, that's how you are. It's like a child, you know, like when you're raising a child, you know, whatever you teach that child, that's how they're going to be, you know. So that's the same with coaching. Whatever our coach teaches us, that's how we're going to perform, you know. If we perform bad, it could be on us. But that's our part, not listening to the coach. So if we listen to our coach and, you know, let him, you know, take control of the game and our training, we'll be fine, you know. And we also have to work hard as well. So we have to want it.
Yeah, and that's another thing that, you know, I think there at the, you know, at your camp, you guys all seem to just be hungry, starving, you know, for more knowledge, more victories. It's like you guys just want to be in the cage all the time and, you know, soaking up the knowledge and all that comes with that. How much, like, in your training camps, like, I mean, how heavy do you guys go, you know, to the point where you're not hurting each other, but, like, you're definitely working, you know, hard. Like, how hard are your camps, and are they getting easier with, you know, the skills you're learning?
Yeah, man, actually, they're getting easier and easier. This camp wasn't that hard, you know, because I've been putting in work for so long, so it was kind of easy, but we go hard on Thursdays, you know, our spar days. And it's not trying to kill each other, you know. We do actually more rounds than anything. But, I mean, if we're working hard, though, beforehand, we don't have to, like, kill ourselves in training. You know, that's how a lot of guys get hurt, you know, trying to, you know, go crazy in camp. You know, we just do technique and we push our cardio. And, you know, the fight is easy once you do it like that, you know. You don't have to train hard and not – you don't have to spar hard all the time.
Right. Now, to you, what do you feel is the most important aspect of your preparation? Well, I honestly think it's cardio, but, you know, what's your opinion?
Same, man. I agree with you on that. It's definitely the cardio for sure. You could be one of the best athletes and get tired the first round, and the guy that you're better than will beat you just because he had better cardio and he's pushing the pace. So cardio is the main thing, man, especially in MMA. You can never have enough cardio.
Most definitely. You know, it's kind of weird doing this show tonight. You know, as I said before, I'm in the hospital right now. You know, I'm getting ready to have a very crazy surgery come Thursday. But, and I know this beforehand, you know, so when I hit Coach Antonio McKee after I seen you boys come to back victories over there in Dublin, it was tremendous. And you know how it's always gone since day one. I've backed Team Body Shop MMA because you guys have instilled a lot of passion, a lot of respect into the sport. And one thing that Coach McKee has always said, you know, we're coming, you better recognize. You know, how hard is it for a young fighter like yourself to be over there in Dublin, come out victorious, but yet have the crowd be so blatantly disrespectful? Does it hinder your thoughts, or does it make you want to compete that much harder when you're in hostile territory?
Nah, man, I could care less about what the crowd thinks. You know, when I'm in there, I don't hear the crowd. You know, the only voice I hear, honestly, is the coach and the ref. That's it. That's all I hear once I step into that cage. So the crowd is whatever, man. I could care less about what the crowd thinks. Hey, you want to? Yeah, I'm still here. Sorry, I'm at a restaurant right now. I have to walk outside. But, yeah, I don't care about the crowd, man. The crowd, it doesn't bother me at all. I mean, even with AJ fought. AJ fought one of the James Gallagher guys that was from, you know, Dublin and had the crowd behind him. You know, when they introduced AJ's name, all the crowd booed, you know, and AJ went out there and still performed and still finished the guy. So, you know, hard work beats all of that, you know.
Now, you sit back because Team Body Shop MMA is truly that, you know, and – you know, even though I had a hard time getting the internet connection to make the show happen, being that I'm in the hospital in the middle of nowhere, I posted a picture of the entire team, and I did that for a specific reason. You know, both of you were victorious, and how does it make you feel, Baby Slice, knowing that AJ McKee went in there, and not only did he win his fight decisively, but he took a step into history by surpassing, you know, Askren's record at 9-0, which, you know, when you truly look at Askren's record, the reason he was at 9-0 is there was 2-3 fight tournaments that he was in. So that correlated to 6 of those 9 victories. Now, AJ's done it time and time and time again. How do you see your career, you know, perplexing and playing out? Do you see it, you know, coming to apparition the same way that AJ McKee's had?
I don't know, man. I'm working hard, you know, and I'm taking it one fight at a time, and I'm just going to see how far I can go and how far this win streak can go, you know. AJ gained a lot of respect, more respect for me, you know, fighting through adversity. You know, he got cut in the first round, came out and fought a great fight, and still came out and finished the guy, you know. So he gained a lot of respect for me on that fight, you know. And, you know, he made history that night, you know. So, I mean, that's our teammate. So that's the goal, you know. Let's try to be better than each other, you know. Let's try to beat each other record, you know, and make each other better. You know, that's how you make each other better, you know. So, you know, and it's funny because this sport is, you when you step in that cage, you know, you're on your own. So, you know, you didn't really think having a team what matters, you know, in a sport like this. But you know, it does in our case. You know, having a team, it means a lot, you know, because we help each other out. And not just in the cage, outside the cage, you know, in life, you know, we help each other.
Most definitely. And that's one of the things that has truly driven me. As you know, for the past, you know, almost 3 years, there's been three gyms that I've bragged about, and one of them happens to be Team Body Shop MMA. Out of the three that I started bragging about, only two of them are continuing to be successful, and that's Team Body Shop MMA and Glory MMA and Fitness, which now has, you know, five UFC fighters under their belt. You know, I lost Barry because my signal's probably pretty weak. I'm going to go ahead and try to get Barry back on the show because I know he wanted to, you know, be a great part of this interview, and I apologize for the technical difficulties, but like I said, I'm trying to make the show work from inside of a hospital bed. We'll see if we can get Barry back on. We might not. We'll go ahead and Barry could probably call back in, and I'll go ahead and continue the interview from here. You know, it should stop. Hopefully stop ringing here in a second. You know, as of Thursday, you know, I'm just going to kind of let you know, and so everybody else knows, and they kind of will understand, you know, this show and where it's at. You know, I'm set to have spine surgery come Thursday morning. In the process of finding that out, they found several other issues that had perplexed, you know, in that. But, you know, my show is about making the fighter shine. My show is about bringing on some of the greatest talent in the sport. What I seen that night perplexed in the octagon for King Kevin Ferguson was truly, I think, the stepping stone that you've been searching for. The fight that you truly needed to, you know, look at yourself and have that self-definition. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, for sure, man. It's just building confidence, you know, and a confident fighter is a dangerous fighter. So that's all it's doing for me, you know. It's funny because I built a lot of confidence in training before I did in the fight. And then now I got it in the fight. So, you know, I'm just continue to do what I've been doing, you know, staying focused, you know, staying patient, being humble, and, you know, getting a job done when I step in the cage.
Most definitely. And I think you did. You know, when you were able to get that submission, you know, I watched the fight over and over again. When you were able to get the submission and you knew you had it, you know, what would you say it did for the confidence level, you know, for yourself? Because I know you, you know, in a lot of different aspects than most people, I know that continuing the family legacy that Barry brought up earlier is something that is really pertinent in your life. Dealing with Coach McKee, I know that it's a true aspect that you've been looking for. And like I kind of brought up earlier, would you say that you feel that self-definition has truly came to the surface?
Yeah, man. Yeah, definitely, man. It did, you know. It showed in the fight, you know. And I'm just here to, you know, continue that legacy. And that's what I'm doing. You know, that's my goal. So I'm just keep training hard, keep working hard.
And I think you will. You know, one thing that I thought was pretty cool, I was, you know, one day I was going through some pictures, and I still get a lot of them to you. But the thing of it is, I think, you know, myself being able to share a part of your life that was through me about your father, you know, I think when you look at certain aspects of, you know, things in life like that, I think it helps each and every one of us put some sort of closure, at least defines a moment for us. Would you say that with me sharing certain aspects like that and Coach McKee sharing certain aspects like that of your father and the life that you grew into, would you say that's going to allow you to only get better from this point forward?
Yeah, it's definitely going to allow me to get better, you know. I learned from all his mistakes and to be better than he was, and that's my goal, and that's what I try to do, you know, and that's what pushed me to train hard and to go hard in the gym. You know, just the fact that I have a legacy, you know, to continue, you know, I have a name, a big name, you know, to live up to. So you know, at this point, it's kind of easy because, you know, I love it. I love the sport, and it's something I love to do. It's my passion. So, you know, I'm just going to continue to do what I do. Don't change anything, but push more, push harder, you know.
One thing I will say, man, and I'm going to try to bring Barry back on here in a second, but one thing I will say that being able to watch the growth of you from day one that I had you on the show, you know, the quiet, humble man and baby Slice, to be able to watch you grow and correlate and define yourself has truly been a true testament for people like me who truly love the sport, truly like seeing the growth of a fighter, the development of a fighter, and maintain the humility that you have. It's priceless, man, and I know there's going to be a lot more memories like this. You know, to me, it was a major stepping stone for you to get through this fight, and the future is bright. You know, it's just the beginning for you, and like you said earlier, with AJ stepping into history, a lot of the team coming together in different aspects and correlations, I think your turn is next, you know, to create that history for yourself. And, man, I just can't wait. You know, sitting back on the sidelines, watching this, you know, come to correlation is truly going to be, you know, tremendous for all of you guys as one family. And I think that's what makes a difference and is creating this greatness for Team Body Shop. It's the family values, the core values, and the appreciation for each and everybody that's on the team through each other. That right there, my friend, is what a lot of teams lack. I'm going to go ahead and try to get Barry Frost on one more time. Like I said, I apologize for the technical difficulties, brother. I didn't know that I was actually going to be in the hospital this long and everything, but I knew, yeah, I wanted to make this show happen. But we'll get Barry on.
Yeah, I'm actually at a restaurant right now about to eat, but I just walked outside to, you know, finish do this interview with
you. All right, we'll wrap you up here real quick. I'll see if I can get Barry on. Okay. And ask a couple more questions, and then we'll get a hold of Antonio. No, then we'll just go ahead and wrap you, and I'll call Antonio myself.
Perfect. And then whenever you want to get another one in, man, just shoot me a text. And, you know, I'm always willing to do anything with you, dog. You're cool, man.
Yeah, that's how it should be, man. We're fam. We all got to take care of each other and keep the sport going.
Yeah, sure.
It doesn't look like I'm going to be able to get him on, but, you know, we were able to get you on the show tonight. We were able to. If I can get one more thought from you, you know, going into your next event, what does it feel now in the heart of Baby Slice? Do you feel that motivation is just going to continue to grow from this point forward and there's no looking back in the career of Baby Slice?
Yeah, man. Honestly, I'm getting better and better. You know, like, I'm really only been training for a year and I'm accomplishing what I'm accomplishing already, you know, so I'm only getting better and better, you know. This time, after this fight, I didn't take no breaks. You know, I'm still running every day. I'm going to keep my weight down. You know, I'm taking it more and more serious, you know, as my career go on. You know, I'm learning, you know. So my last fights, I took a break and, you know, most fighters do, though. That's the thing that fighters do. They take breaks and they put on size, they put on weight, and then they have to start all over again. That's why I don't want to do that, you know. I'm going to stay in shape. I'm going to continue to run every night and get my cardio better and better. That's how you get your cardio better and better, you know. And that's what I'm going to do. And that's what I've been doing. Even Monday after when I got home, I'm like, man, because we train twice a day, but we're going to train twice a day when it's 8 weeks out for a fight. And I'm like, I got to go to the gym, you know. So I still went to the gym. I went to the gym in the morning, and then I went again for my second training just to help Aaron Pico for his fight, you know, just because I want to stay in shape. I want to stay on top of things, you know. I don't want to take no breaks, and I'm not going to take no breaks, you know.
Most definitely. Well, my brother, I'm going to hand the microphone over to you. Any friends or family, any social media sites, any sponsors, or just anything you'd like to add to the program, the floor is yours, Baby Slice.
Yeah, man, you guys can follow me on Instagram at BabySlice242, Facebook, King Kevin Ferguson Jr., Snapchat is BabySlice242, Twitter, is Kimbo Slice Jr. And I give a shout out to all my sponsors. A thank you to all my sponsors: Nutrition Zone, Huntington Beach, Lena Egg Whites, Bad Boys, and Hot 5 Hand Therapy. Thank you, guys.
Definitely. Thank you for taking your time out, Liz. We know you just got back. You got back to take care of Aaron Pico. You guys came off two tremendous wins. You know, I look for nothing but the best from Team Body Shop. Thank you once again for joining us tonight. We'll get you back on when you have a little bit more time, and we'll share you with the world, my brother. God bless you.
Thank you.
You have a tremendous evening.
All right, thank you. All right,
thank you. You know, like I said, we're having a little bit of technical difficulties. I'm in the middle of a hospital room in Springfield, Missouri. We were able to get Kevin on. I'm going to try to get Barry back on so we can bring on AJ McKee and Antonio McKee. Let's try to get Barry on one more time. Hopefully we'll be able to do it. Doesn't look like it's happening. You know, we're having one of those nights.
Hey, this is Barry. Sorry I missed your phone call. If you leave your name and number,
All right, what we're going to do, we'll take another short intermission. I apologize for the technical difficulties, but we'll take a brief intermission, and hopefully we can get Barry back on. We'll definitely get Antonio McKee back on and everybody back on the show, and we'll move forward after this short, brief intermission. I'll play a commercial from our sponsors, and we'll go from there. If I can find it again, there we go. I apologize for the technical difficulties. Now I get this song to play. There we go.
What up, it's your boy Slone Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony Family Tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen, in a world full of followers, be proud to be different, be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best at a price nobody can match. I'm going to ask you this, though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout-out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Well, you got to love that coming from the 86ers.net. I'm going to go ahead and try to get a hold of Barry Frost one more time. It may be my connection. Like I said, not quite sure what's going on, but we're going to try. If we don't get Barry on this time, then we'll just go ahead and jump to Antonio and AJ, and we'll get as much time as we can in, and we'll move on from there. Let me go ahead and take care of that right now. You know, one thing I do love is, you know, being able to do things on the fly from the hospital room. This will probably be one of my worst shows ever, being that, you know, I had so much technical difficulties just trying to get this show to fly, but I got to represent family as they did in Dublin, represented each other. We got to make this happen, and we'll see what we can do right now. If we can't get Barry on, then we'll jump right to Antonio and AJ McKee. It's showing a non-secure connection, so it could be my internet, being that I'm on a hotspot. Yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead and cancel that out. And we're going to go ahead and I apologize. We're going to take one more brief intermission, and when we come back, we'll have Antonio and AJ.
Yo, yo. Sounds some old school blues type stuff. Yeah. Check, check, check. Yeah. While I battle the evils of this wicked world, I plan to capture my vision. In the midst of all these drastic decisions, trapped in this prison, always had a passion for winning, but I was too busy chasing after forgiveness. Prayerfully, my perception is still a testament of how I evolved. I'm honestly lost, trying to find a way to conquer these faults. I'm usually using immunity to excuse any scrutiny.
Hello?
Antonio, this is Don McGuire with the Fighter's Voice. How you doing tonight, sir?
Hey, I'm good. Hold on. Let me cage AJ in. They waiting for you to call. Ain't nobody calling them.
I just got off the phone with Baby Slice. I've already interviewed Baby Slice.
Oh.
And,
okay, well, hold on. Let me bring AJ on the line.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me bring him on. Hold on.
AJ. Hey, AJ. Hello?
Yo.
There we go. We good.
Are you on the line, AJ?
Yo. Hey, how you doing?
Hey. Yeah, I can hear you now. You know, first and foremost, congratulations. What you and Baby Slice actually did over there in Dublin was second to none. But what I kind of want to touch on for a moment was you took a step into history. You know, you surpassed Ben Askren at 9-0. You went to 10-0 in Bellator MMA. What did that mean in the heart and the sentiment, not only for AJ McKee, but for all of Team Body Shop MMA?
For me, I'd say it's a good beginning, you know. It's a good beginning and a good start to the history. You know, to one of the many records and one of the many things that not only I, but team plans to do in the sport of MMA.
Yes. You know, when you look at the whole, and I'm going to jump to you, Antonio, for a second. When you look at everything that perplexed over there in Dublin, you know, you've been spouting about this for about 2 years now, that the team was going to come together, that they truly had the ability to come up with a night like this and find their way into history. How proud does it make you as a coach seeing your team completely come to the true definition and really have that glitch that it's going to take to be one of the top teams, not only from the West Coast, but in the United States?
You know what? I don't really look at it like that. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do, man. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm humble at doing it. I think I did enough in my time acting crazy and, you know, disrespectful and just having my own opinion, my own mindset, my own way of doing things, to where the value in what I'm doing is not about me. It's to make sure that they don't have to go through what I went through. And just being a great coach, I mean, I got 20-something fucking years in this shit, man. And as much as people don't understand how good I am and how good I'm capable of teaching, because most good fighters are not good teachers, and most good teachers are not good fighters. But I don't carry the ego in there, and that's where we're winning, because I look at each guy different, and I watch each guy fight, and when I turn to the next guy, I'm trying to get one of my guys to beat the other guy. Which, you know, I can't have an ego or favoritism. So I'm just doing what I'm doing. I don't even know how to answer the question, because for me, I'm just doing my job.
Right? You know, like I talk with Baby Slice, you know, we go back several years, and to watch the evolution of Team Body Shop is tremendous. You know, I'm sitting in a hospital room at Cox Hospital in Springfield, Missouri. I'm getting ready for surgery on Thursday, and there's, you know, quite a few things that I've got to get fixed in my life, but I wanted to make this show happen. The one reason I wanted to make this show happen is because from day one, you told me that pay attention to these fighters. Pay attention to this team, because we're going to come together one day and we're going to make a difference in the world. Now, when you look at that aspect of it, you know, AJ, how does it make you feel knowing that, you know, you listened to your father, he was able to bring tremendous warriors into this circle, into this family, and it's now all paying off for each and every one of you. What does it do for the humility of AJ McKee knowing that you guys have everything it takes to move forward and be on top of the world?
I would say for me, it's honestly, I don't feel pressure, but for me, I would say that's where the pressure comes in, you know, because at the end of the day, I know my dad's not doing it for people. He is doing it for everyone, but he's not just doing it for everyone. He's doing it for me, you know, and he put me ahead of his career, and pretty much, if I know if I didn't want to do this and, like, I quit fighting right now, my dad would be done with fighting. And the thing with that is, you know, that's the only pressure I feel, you know, and that's where I get my motivation sometimes, because I've been fighting my whole life, and since I was born, it's been a fight, and the fight, you get tired of fighting sometimes, you know, so just always having that in the back of my head now is like, it's a different level of motivation, you know, because he didn't just put everything on the line, but he put it on the line and put it on hold of his own career, you know, and sacrificed that for me and for everyone else. And so pretty much now, like, I have to do that for everyone else, because if I don't do it, then pretty much what he did for me, I have to do for them. And it just continues to go that way, you know? And it's like a chain of command, and you guys just keep pushing and going and going and going.
Yeah, I truly do feel you, because
how you just work, you know?
You know, when you look at, when you sit back as an outsider such as myself, but I truly love you guys as family. I look at you guys as family. And this is a question that I asked Baby Slice earlier, you know, when I had him on the show. When you look at the adding of Brandon Halsey, Aaron Pico, Joey Black Ice Davis, you know, when you bring all these different criterias of the sport and you combine them together with the knowledge of your father, would you say that is the major milestone that AJ McKee needed to take his career that much further?
The milestone. What do you mean? Which milestone? There's so many milestones.
Let me reword it. Would you say it's what the team needed as a whole to prove to the world that what has transpired is real and it's going to continue to grow?
A little bit. I feel now they're beginning to see it. Some people, they don't want to respect it, but they'll respect the team. They'll respect the team and so forth. But when it comes to me, I feel a lot of people still have that doubt. You know, they still try to doubt me. Oh, you're living under your father. You haven't fought anybody. But at the end of the day, if that's the case, well, look at what all my teammates are doing. You know, they're out there putting in work too. So is it the same thing for them? So
yeah,
sooner or later, they can't deny it.
Most definitely. You know, now, one thing that Baby Slice did mention, you know, you guys came back early so you can be at Aaron Pico's fight. What does it mean for you, Coach McKee, to be able to have two of your son and Baby Slice win and come back to be able to partake in the Aaron Pico fight and see him come out victorious too. What does it mean to the family of Team Body Shop to get victory after victory after victory?
For me, it's a joke. I'm like laughing. Like, so many fighters want to be fighters, but they really don't want to work like a fighter. We know my resume, and I train so many people. And it's not so much me. It's team. That's the thing. It's not me or I. It's team. And, like, AJ is probably the most technical guy in the room. But when it comes to putting it together, that's why I kind of trump everybody, because I'm able to put it all together and show them angles and different things. The way I'm teaching stuff, not everybody would understand it because they're looking for that technical-ass armbar, that technical-ass triangle. But when you're in a motherfucking fight, it ain't that technical shit is out the window until you get tired. That's why conditioning is number one in my book. But at the end of the day, it's starting to become like a joke. It's like a joke. Yeah. And my guys are starting to see it because I'm telling them, look, you won't get hit if you do this, if you do that. You won't have to worry about this or worry about that if you do this and do that. But here's the good thing is that they're seeing it. They're doing it. And we're winning. You know, we're winning. Pico to come off of a loss, get knocked out, come back and knock, get one of the best knockouts of the year. I ain't saying nothing. I'm just laughing. When you got these coaches that want to be all in his corner like it was them. And, you know, you don't even see me in the ring no more, man. I'm letting other people go in there. You guys want this TV? Go be on TV.
Hey, that ain't happening no more.
You know?
Honestly, I'm glad I didn't go to Pico's fight
because
I'd have threw a fit.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, these guys are trying to build their stables. You know, I ain't saying no names no more because it is what it is. They know what I am and who I am, and I'm a problem, and I'm going to be a problem. And any guys and anybody that fight one of my guys, they better bring a lunch because they're going to have
a fight.
They
better come ready. Yeah, they better come ready, bro. I know that much. You know, one thing that I do want to touch on with AJ real quick, you know, and sometimes it's good to be the elephant in the room. You know, you hear a lot of people say that a lot of AJ's, you know, arsenal was his kicks. You know, and then you watch his last few fights, and you can't say that anymore. You know, AJ, when you look at your last few performances, the striking ability has profoundly been increased. The takedown, the wrestling, everything has truly come together for you. How much more of a more rounded fighter do you feel now than, per se, 6 to 8 months ago?
Honestly, I feel a lot less, to be honest.
Right. I agree.
I mean, just because of my last fight, I never used to drop my left hand. And I feel because of my last couple of fights with messing up my hand and so forth, I got comfortable babying my left hand, dropping it, and working so much other stuff. When it came time to really using it, when I got tired, I had bad little habits, and it was dropping that left hand and not firing it when I should. I would honestly say my striking is about, what? I'd say like, what, 60% right now? Nah, 50%.
Yeah. All right. You know what? A lot of people don't know, man, what goes on in a camp. What's going on in that fighter's head? Is he relationship-wise steady? Is his home life good? Is his parents getting along? Is his little siblings? Does he have to work a 9-to-5? Does he have kids? Does he have family? Where's his mindset? See, all you guys see that's listening is you see him out there fighting. No one knows one fight was with a broke hand. The fight before the broke hand was a fight that he didn't train. This fight, emotional, a lot of personal life stuff going on. They just see him win. But when he's got it together, it's a knockout in the first round. And so that's why when he answered that question, I'm glad he answered that question, honestly, because that fight he just fought, he should have finished that guy in the first round. That's how good he is. And he's my son. I can't tell people how good he is because they say, well, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. They will always find something that you don't do. That's not what's important.
The thing with this last fight was we weren't expecting to take the main event and to be still in the show, take the show to be the show, you know? We were expecting to go in there, fight, just fight, have an all right opponent, take a normal fight. But Princess Gallagher, of course, is hurt. So when she got hurt, I was just getting off the injury of the fractured hand. I hadn't trained for a month, and I could barely hit mitts. So my camp started with 4 weeks. And then they moved it to main event against Brian Moore, who's Gallagher's teammate, which is actually 10 times better than him. And it was a test fight, you know. We studied it. My dad studied him. But for me, I'm just going to go fight, you know. Regardless, I'm going to fight. We had put everything together. 2 weeks, I couldn't really even hit mitt because my hand was hurting. The last 2 weeks, I could actually do a little something. And then, but what is honestly 2 weeks of training for a main event fight against someone who's fought champions, multiple champions?
And see, that's where I came in. That's as a father, as a coach, that's where I said, okay, this is what we got to do to win this fight. This is the way we're going to train. We got 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 2 weeks. Bam, it's go time. On top of making the weight. On top of the pressure, Ireland Dublin, when they get to sing that, hey, 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 hey. Okay.
It made me mad.
And the only blacks in that mother sucker was me and Slice, and the opponent Slice fought and AJ. And it, man, look at a 22-year-old with this type of pressure.
Every
he made
punch,
it look.
Every punch he threw, whether it landed or not, they cheered. Every single punch. Cheer. Ah, yeah. I was like, man, shut up. He didn't even hit me.
So that just shows you just how good he is. Without me having to say it, if you know the fight game, you know the pressure, I guarantee you any fighter will say that AJ McKee is a bad motherfucker. Because at 22 years old, to be able to go and take a show and be the main event and deal with the pressure, and then when I go to the corner in the second round, when I know he's mentally exhausted, I said, hey, we got to finish this guy. Put him on his ass and finish him.
Dad, what I asked you when I sat on that bench?
You said, which time? You asked me a couple times. You talking about, were you winning?
No, the first time. After the first round when I was cut.
You asked me, was the cut bad? And then you asked me, huh?
Why you lying to me, bro? Hey, this is how my dad is the worst liar in the world. Look, I'm like, Dad, is the cut bad? And me looks up at the cut, pauses. It was a good second and a half pause, and it looked at me. Nah, you good. I'm like, you are so full of crap, though.
Well, AJ, let me jump in here real quick. Because I, you know, at that part of the fight, it was actually being live streamed. And Antonio, I know you're probably going to get mad at me, brother, but you said, I heard you tell the person that was live streaming it, cut it now. You know, so, you know, I kind of feel where AJ's coming, you know, coming from. And
what do you mean, cut it?
Somebody
say that again. I don't understand.
When they were live streaming the fight, and then when AJ initially got the cut and started to bleed, somebody was live streaming, and I don't know if he told them to stop videoing because AJ was cut, or if it because of whatever situation that was transpiring.
Oh, in the corner.
The live stream stopped at that point in time that AJ was cut in the octagon. Now, I don't know if it had anything to do with him being cut, but I know the live stream was stopped at that point in time. You know, is that what you're referring to, AJ?
No. I was talking about the end of the first round when I came and sat on the stool.
Yeah, it was at the end of the first round.
Oh, so they cut the whole corner, the whole minute of the corner out.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. I don't know.
Yeah, see, one thing I want to get, and, you know, and I sometimes I want to be the elephant in the room because I love Team Body Shop. I love what you guys are doing, and I consider you guys family. You know, but when you sit here and if you really sit back and listen to what we've discussed so far, you know, on the show tonight, you know, AJ, you truly never have had the the opportunity to step in the octagon, per se, I would say 70% of the time, fully ready or with a full camp or without something coming up and perplexing. So would you say that the sport truly has never seen what AJ McKee is completely comfortable doing and capable of doing?
They've had glimpses. They've had pieces and bits and pieces. So the knockout, that was a good head kick. The first round of my last fight, it was decent, but it wasn't. I don't know. It wasn't me completely. I would say when I fought Cody Walker. That was probably about 70-80%. I would say that was the best I was for a fight. Would you say that, Dad? The dude that was like 6'4"?
That is that when we went up to Big Bear?
No, that was when I was supposed to fight Emmanuel Sanchez, who pulled out. And then, actually, yeah, it was.
Yeah, that was when we went to Big Bear because you didn't have all the distractions.
Yeah, we had a separate camp. We went to Big Bear.
They won. We were 4-0 that night. Bubba was the only person that lost, and he wasn't training with me, so he got knocked out by Georgie.
He is just like Sergeant.
The thing I'm getting at is, you know, you finally look at Brandon Halsey, who is finding his place. You look at Aaron Pico, who is finding his place. You look at Baby Slice, who is now gone two straight victorious and is pretty much engraving his place, to say. But then you look at AJ McKee, and he truly is a fighter that the world truly hasn't seen 100%. When you look at as his father, Antonio, and as a coach, do you think when AJ's at 100% that there will be anybody that could even come in comparison to him in the octagon as a fighter?
No, there's going to be people there's going to be people in a body bag is what's going to happen. He's going to hurt these guys, man. He's got every damn weapon that you could possibly want as a mixed martial arts fighter. You've seen him knock people out with head kicks. You've seen him knock people out with his hands. You've seen him tap people out by choking them out. You've seen everything that the sport offers. So these are all learning experiences for him. He's 10-0, and he's had a fight, every fight. What happens when he steps down? He is who he is now. I'm telling you, man, there's going to be some problems. He's going to end some careers. It's going to be ugly. And all they're doing is creating a monster.
But they truly are. You know, let's take a step back 3 years ago when, about 3 years ago when I started to bring you gentlemen on the show. You know, it's tremendous to see where the team has gone now. You know, Coach McKee, You sat back and you've added some of the greatest fighters in the sport in their genres. Would you say that that's what it's taken with the knowledge of yourself to finally raise the eyebrows or get people to recognize that day is coming where Team Body Shop is going to be on top of the world and there's nothing anybody's going to be able to do to stop it because it – You're growing in such a tremendous fashion from each and every facet of the sport of mixed martial arts that what I see is each individual learning from each other, each individual thriving from each other, and the motivation just grows. How does that make you feel when you see that as a mentor of the gym?
Well, here's the part that kills a lot of people is that I don't look at it on the physical, on the earth level. I look at it on a spiritual level because I've never once advertised for people to come train with me. And I believe, you know, law of attraction, spirit, God, these people are coming to me for other reasons than just fighting. Because most of these guys that are in the gym are badasses. They just need some help spiritually. And that's where we grow the most, is mentally, spiritually. And so, again, you can't sign up or sell that. That's something that people are just attracted to. You know, if Pico would have never won, if he would have won that fight, he wouldn't be here. He wouldn't have been at the body shop. He would have stayed where he was. So look at how there was a blessing in the eyes of those who thought it was a curse. Because like he said, had I won that fight, I wouldn't be here. Coach, I'm glad I lost. And now he's watching everybody else, and he's like, man, they need us. But see, I can't give myself to everybody. I can only do so much with the small amount of guys that I'm training, because then you lose quality. So it's not about the money. It's never been about the money. But, you know, again, when I start talking that, some people will get scared, because when you start talking spiritually and people don't understand how spirit works, it's like talking to an umbrella.
It truly is. And, you know, I've had many conversations with you. I've had AJ and many of Team Body Shop on the show time and time and time again. And, you know, you've correlated to me that, you know, people don't want to know the truth because they fear the truth. And I've watched this organization grow. You know, I could have very easily called you up tonight and said, you know, sir, I'm in the hospital. I'm getting ready to have a major surgery, and they found tons of other crap wrong with me. But I've looked at you for spiritual guidance. I've looked at you for knowledge. And I've watched your team grow, and I've been very fortunate to be able to bring you guys on my show time and time again. And this was a show I did not want to miss. You know, when I look at the building from the day I first had you guys on the show till now, you know, you've been nothing but forthwith about your fighters. You've been nothing but completely honest on your thoughts, on bad nights, good nights, and everything. You know, AJ, being the young prodigy that everybody considers you to be, would you say that in the spiritual aspect, the motivational aspect, and the integrity aspect of your father is what truly keeps you and the rest of Team Body Shop striving for that perfection?
For sure. And that's the thing about our gym. That's the brotherhood, in it, you know? It's a brotherhood of, if something were to go down, we're all going to stand up and we're all going to fight together, you know? We're all going to go out as one. It's not going to be, oh, well, I'm going to go this way. Like, good luck handling that. Like, we're all just going to, you know what I'm saying? Neither you're going to get us all or we're going to get you. And that's just, I would say that's the spiritual connection, the bond of growth, just being a brother. And, you know, it's a brotherhood. It's a spiritual connection between everyone.
You know, and I've been able to see that because I've been a part of this family and this gym for a few years now. And, you know, you could see it in pictures. You could see it, you know, come fight night. You know, when you look back at the beginning, Antonio, you know, when I first had you on the show and we talked about when, you know, you raised AJ the way he did and he used to take a bath in a crock pot. Now that you look back over your shoulder and you look at where this family, this brotherhood is at, what more do you feel you could have done in all aspects? Because you're the type of individual that, you know, wants to not only talk good about your gym, but you also like to put in retrospect where you feel that you've gone wrong or things didn't always follow in the footsteps that you thought. Do you now, when you look back from this day backwards, where do you feel as a coach that you could have changed things, or do you feel that things gone exactly to your game plan from day one?
Well, I would have kept the real estate that I had, the big houses, the property that I had, so I could have gave more opportunity for guys that needed a place to stay. And I wouldn't have had so many girlfriends on my off time because it was a distraction on myself personally. Had I not had the guys involved, you know, AJ, Joey, Pico, I used to coach those guys when they were kids. Had I not had them every Saturday and Sunday, I probably wouldn't be here. So I wouldn't really want to change anything except I wish I would have kept the real estate that I own.
How proud of your, you know, when you look back, you know, and I know you don't like to look at life in these reflections, and I know AJ will correct you if you stray away from the path because we're all family here. But, you know, I look at the love that you correlate to each and every one of your fighters. It's equal across the board. You know, I've even, you know, asked you to bring fighters into your gym. You've opened the door. You have an open door policy. You know, when you look at everything, how proud are you that things are finally lining up and the world is truly seeing, even though there's you know, situations that occur going into fights as AJ's hands being broken or AJ getting hurt or, you know, different other, you know, perspectives playing into another one of your teammates or your students' fights. How much happier could you be as a coach knowing that this moment is finally coming to apparition?
Man, it ain't. It ain't done until we got the belts around our waist. These guys are married with big houses and inspiring other kids to do the same thing that they did. So I ain't going to – halfway there yet. You know what I mean? We still got a lot of work to do. You got to remember, these guys are young. Aaron Pico is 20, AJ's 22, Joy Davis is 23. They're still babies, but they're fighting guys 30, 32, 34, 28. Yeah. They're fighting men.
My record
and they're
40.
And they're whooping them. So,
and they're breaking.
You know, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, and they're breaking records of legends of the sport. You look at what AJ just, you know, the record that he just broke to you know, cement his name in history, you know, passing Askin's record of 9-0 to become 10-0. You know, how do you keep AJ so grounded knowing that the future has been so bright, but yet it hasn't even begun?
I don't, man. I mean, I tell him what's right. And it's up to him if he's going to do the right thing. I said, listen, son, I did this already. I did this. This went wrong. This is not right. Do this. Be careful on this. Don't ask for this, but don't do this and do this. And don't just tell him. Explain. Take the time to explain to him why. Let him use his own mind. See, I let AJ do his own thing, man. When I tell him, hey, man, you training tomorrow? He don't show up. I'll call him. He don't show up for a whole week. I'll call him. Make sure he's doing good. Hey, you good? All right. Talk to you later. Bye. He already knows in his heart, in his mind, he's dogging it. So the day that he gets beat, he already knows what I'm going to say. Hey, what did you do to win? Because you blessed already. Let's do this. This is the easiest thing in the world. I dreamt of having a father or a teammate or somebody to just tell me, look, do this, do that, do this. It's all going to be okay. That's what I tell my guys. I guarantee it. I put my money where my mouth is. You do this, you do that, you do this, the outcome, and we're champions. And so they believe in me like I believe in them. Like I said, man, they're going to figure it out, but it's going to be bad because we're going to hurt people. You know, Little Chief went out there and knocked that dude out with that left hook. We've been working on that left hook. Now, yeah, he's boxing over at Freddie Roach's, and he's doing that. But you ask him where his insight is coming from, where his real look, man. This ain't about no jab, cross hook, roll, cover, slip. This is a fight. That's what we're doing at my gym. We're going to fight. So these coaches are going to wake up sooner or later.
Well, the sport's going to wake
not,
up sooner or later.
If not, their students will fall prey to Team Body Shop. I love Team Body. You ain't never heard me say McKee, Antonio, Team McKee. Nah, man. The reason why we're so good is because we all work together. You know what I mean? I get these guys, they want to call me for a camp. Hey, McKee, I want you to come up for my camp. I'm like, okay, well, The reason why I'm able to coach so good is because of what I have here. You need to come here. Oh, no, I don't want to roll with this guy. I don't want to roll with that guy. I don't want to. Oh, well, I guess what? I can't work with you. And these guys are UFC champs or guys that are high up in the UFC, and I walk away from the money. Because the key to my victories is the team.
It truly
not
is.
When you have a fight, you show up. When you don't have a fight, you don't come in the gym, and all these guys are in here sweating. And when you got a fight, you come back to the gym, and these guys are trying to get you ready. See, I've been through that already. The Emmanuel Newtons, nah, that ain't happening, homie. Get up out of here. You got to pay us now. You got to pay these guys to train with you, because you ain't never put the blood and sweat in their camp. And now every time you get a fight, you want the guys to put the blood and sweat in your camp? You know, and look at Emmanuel. He's 0-4. But he's doing what he wants to do. And so guess what?
Yeah, you know, I had him on the show a couple weeks ago. Yeah, you know, I had him on the show a couple weeks ago. And, you know, you could see that the uncertainty in Emmanuel Newton. I love Emmanuel Newton to death. And I understand where you're coming from, Coach. I truly do. You know, and I think AJ said it so eloquently earlier. It's the brotherhood. It's the camaraderie. It's the family. You know, it's
right.
Each and everybody picking each other up off the ground when that time is deemed. You know, AJ, when you look at it in that aspect, I don't even think you showed a third of the potential that you ascertain. You know, coming from a inner workings of the sport, a photographer of the sport, and a man who truly loves the sport, and you know, I've watched you grow up, and I'm going to continue to watch you grow up as a warrior, as a young man. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm in great admiration of you, but what makes it even more special is you're honest about your career. You're honest about your flaws. You're honest about where other people think you're shining. You put it into a perspective. Would you say that knowledge is helping you define yourself even more and creating the pathway that you truly need to be on, son?
Definitely. Just because at the end of the day, whatever your goal is, once you achieve that goal, you're going to make another goal. And then another goal, and another goal, and another goal. So it's never going to be enough. So instead of always pointing out what you did good and what's good, point out your flaw. Okay, I did this wrong. I'm going to fix that now. Okay, I did this. Well, let me fix this now. There's always going to be something wrong, and there's always going to be something good. Something new that's good. Dang.
Hey, sorry, you know what I used to tell people? I used to tell people I'm perfect. They're like, what?
Yeah, so
I said, let me tell you why.
Imperfect.
Look, I strive to be perfect. Everyone else is striving to be the best or be good. I strive to be the best. I want to be perfect. And you know what? I'll never really accomplish it. But guess what? I'll get further than the person that's just trying to be good or the person that's trying to be excellent. I'm trying to be perfect. And so I've always thought he'd do that, man. He's got a lot of game, man. He got a lot of game because all my life, all I did was communicate with him. I never tried to hold back, hey, AJ, I was wrong when I did that, you know. I did this, I did that, and it was wrong, and I don't want to see you go down that path. I don't want you hanging out with this type of person or that type of person. Look, when you told me, I didn't, you know, because it's easy when you're a fighter. Everybody wants to be around the fighter. Everybody wants to rub elbows with the guy that kicks ass. We kick ass. We're a different breed. We take your woman with all your money. Why? Because she don't feel protected unless you hire me to take care of you. So she loves me. She loves your money. We're a different breed.
You know, and I agree with you, you know, Coach. You know, I could have just easily, you know, because I didn't realize I was going to be in the hospital when we booked the show. And you've always been more than a blessing to me when I asked you to come and do a show. You've never told me no, not once. And, you know, even though I ended up in the hospital and I'm currently getting ready for surgery, and they found the other multitude of issues that are going to, you know, probably change my life forever, I told myself that, you know, I have to respect my family that I've backed for so long. You guys have never showed any excuses. You've always told it like it is, you know, and I think that's what's attributed, as AJ was saying earlier, to the success, you know, because everybody wants to go out there and brag about what they've done right. But I've never heard that come from your camp. I've never heard that come from any of your fighters. What I think you guys are doing, and I find so uniquely profound, is the honesty, the truthfulness behind the warriors that come from Team Body Shop MMA. Now, AJ, with you being such a young, talented warrior with a great future in front of you, would you say that the honesty and applying it in everyday life and showing the structure behind you as a young man that your father has taught you, would you say that that has allowed you to excel, not only as a warrior, but as a young man, and to show growth in the sport and in everyday life?
For the sport, yeah, man, it's played a big part in putting me ahead, you know, having that other mindset. But when it comes to the normal world of having that mindset, it becomes a very lonely world, because there's not too many people that think that way. And when you try to point out someone wrong or what they're doing, they don't like that, you know. They feel like you're attacking them, but the truth hurts, in other words, you know. The truth hurts.
Yeah.
And whether you want to hear it or not, it's what you need to hear. So it's like sometimes you just got to humble yourself and take it for what it is.
Yeah.
And a lot of people honestly don't like to deal with the truth or handle whatever their issue or something is that they did wrong or that they're doing wrong. They like to act like push it off to the side, act like it's just not there. But it's like at the end of the day, okay, boom, it happens again. Like, when do you change your mindset? And a lot of people become acceptive and content with that mindset.
Yeah. I definitely understand where you're coming from. And, you know, I have a great admiration for you, AJ. You've known this all along. You've always been true to character. You know, watching Baby Slice come up, you know, with a few hiccups in the road, and, you know, now you got Aaron Pico, you got Brandon Halsey, you've got a whole slew of talented individuals. But, you know, Coach McKee, would you say at the end of the day that if it wasn't for the influence that you have in the sport, that you continue to strive to make major changes in the sport, would you say that that would have hindered the growth and development of Team Body Shop MMA if you weren't as open as you are in life?
No. No, it's assholes like Dana White, and it's guys like you that are doing interviews when they're in the hospital and not guaranteed to wake up tomorrow. You know what I mean? You're out here. Look at your dedication and determination. And then you got somebody like Dana White over here who's a complete idiot, thinks like a retarded kid, and look at what he's doing. But, you know, everything comes full circle. So it's guys like him that I keep doing things right and I'm honest about. And it's guys like you where I learn my passion, my drive, and my focus. So I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful for that asshole. The only difference is I got your back.
He owes me lunch, though.
and I understand that. You know, when I had the ability to bring you on 2.5-3 years ago, and, you know, you've always paid great homage to me for bringing you on the show, because I've always let you speak your mind. I've always let you be who you want to be, and I've never pushed for that drama, that unethical aspect of the sport that many want to bring into their shows. Yeah, I could have just as easily canceled this show because I've got a multiple health issues. But to me, I would rather bring you on in this condition that I'm in now, sitting in this hospital room, because reality is reality. You know, I'm like you. You've taught me a lot. You own up. You face up. If it doesn't come out the way you wanted it to, it doesn't mean that it's not perfect. It doesn't mean that it wasn't done with the greatest intent. You just pick yourself up, you dust yourself off, and you prepare yourself for the next battle. AJ, would you say that that's the type of persistence and knowledge that your father has showed you that has allowed you to be such a tremendous individual in your walk in life and own up to your mistakes and admit to, you know, where you need to grow as a young man, but yet continue to strive to be one of the greatest warriors?
For sure, especially coming from such a young age and just wanting to be young, you know, wanting to hang out with your boys, go kick it, and just be young, you know, and doing things that are not conducive for a career, the career that I'm picking and so forth. Dang, dude, get off my ass. So with that, you know, it's like I was saying with the mindset, when do you quit lying to yourself and trying to tell yourself that it's okay and it's not bad or whatever, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like when is enough enough?
Yeah.
And that was something he just always would just consistently tell me. And then finally, you know, that's when I got it. You know, I got it myself. And then after that, man, I swear, everything lines up. And, yeah, you kind of teeter-totter back and forth every so often. But, you know, that's life. You're going to slip. You're going to fall. You're going to mess up sometimes. But it's about when you get back up. Or do you say, oh, I slipped because the floor was wet? Nah, man. You slipped because you weren't paying attention. Get your ass up and do it again.
I love the way you said that, you know, and it just truly resonates, you know, all the multitude of conversations that I've had with your father, with a lot of the fighters from Team Body Shop MMA. You know, it truly is an honor for an individual like myself to be able to share such a humble group of men and warriors with the world. I think the facet of what you guys created over there is truly changing the sport day by day, moment by moment. I've got one more question for each one of you gentlemen, and then I'll let you get back to training. You know, I'll start with you first, AJ. You made a gesture after your victory over there in Dublin that you wanted that belt. Do you actually feel that the time for you is now to go after the championship? And if so, do you feel that you've got the complete knowledge, the complete package now with all of your teammates' support to do so?
Most definitely. If I have a full camp, we go somewhere, get away. I don't think there's no way. First of all, the guys are too small in the weight class. They're small, and I'm faster. I'll be a lot stronger. I don't know what they think they could do, you know? And then with my mindset and a full camp of not getting tired, what are you going to do? You're going to take me down? Okay, well, then I'm going to elbow you in your face the whole time. There's just so much. And well, Gallagher was—I was gesturing it towards him because he was right there. That's why I told him to suck it. After I gestured the belt, because the belt's mine, and then I told him to suck it because he could suck it. The belt's not his. The belt's mine. He can act like he wants that belt. He'll never get that belt, and he knows.
And I have to agree with you. You know, before I jump over to your father, I got one more thing to say to you, AJ. I truly am honored that you come on my show without a doubt, without a hindrance. you know, I truly think that, you know, you will find where you need to be, you know, because you're not happy with, I guess what you've shown so far, because you know in your heart that you're capable of much more. And, you know, the only thing that bothers me is others are saying that you've completely cleaned out this division. It's time for you to step up and wait. What are your thoughts on people saying that you need to move up in weight class? And then I'm going to ask your father the same thing.
Hell yeah. Save me the weight cut. Shoot. My boot, man. That,
right?
That means faster, stronger. I mean, I want to hurry up and get that belt, though. I feel, I don't know, April's kind of pushing it for the youngest champ. But, I mean, I don't know. We'll see how things go. We'll see how timing works out. We'll see how a man upstairs has it, you know. You can't say what you want to do, you know. If you don't control time. Time waits on no one. So it's all about the timing and how things go. But for sure, by the end of 2018, I'll be up at 155.
I think that day will be coming soon. Before I jump to your father, AJ, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and shout out your sponsors, your social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program, and then I'll go ahead and wrap up with your father. And thank you for joining my show. I know I wasn't the most eloquent of a host tonight because, like I said, I've got a lot on my plate. But one thing
you're an OG triple.
I just keep my word, G. I keep my word, you know. But
you're the OG.
You think so?
Man. First off, shout out to you, man. All props to you. You know, man, you've been there since you were there when I was amateur, you know. So shout out to you. You, man, you the real one, as they would say. My sponsors, PC1, Lena Eggbite, Affliction, Dr. Dossman, Import Auto Pro, Skunk 2. Dad, am I missing anybody?
Nope.
Snickers, man. What's up with that Snickers deal?
Hey, dude, I got to call Snickers. He keeps asking for the damn Snickers sponsorship because we eat so many Snickers.
Dude, we eat Snickers. And the mercenary's not himself when he hasn't had his Snickers, you know?
Well, you deserve it. You know, I'll put that out there for Wes. I'll even jump on that bandwagon myself. You know, my nurses are harping at me because I've been on the show just a little bit longer, but they can wait just a few more minutes. You know, AJ, it's always an honor and a pleasure to have you on my show, and you are right. I've believed in all of you since day one, and I will believe in you guys till the day I die, you know, because the humility from this camp is second to none. The integrity just as well. You know, I'm going to jump to you, Antonio. You know,
I'll make it quick because, you know, I talk all night.
Oh, yeah.
Like
but
AJ
I just
said,
want to get
bro.
One thing. You know, I'm really humbled that even though tonight's show wasn't the greatest in the world because I'm not feeling the greatest, that you still showed me the respect and the love that life should be. That this is how life should be for everybody. You know?
Absolutely, bro.
I just want to let you know one thing, that I'm truly honored that you, your fighters, come on my show and share who they are. And do it with the greatest dignity and respect and love for the sport. When I look at you, I truly see a man that truly just appreciate and respect in life, because you don't come on here and talk bullshit. You come on here and you're just real. You're genuine. And that's a part of life and a part of the sport that's missing. And for that, I commend you. I commend your fighters for that. And I just want to, you know, hand the microphone over to you and let you give one last shout out to, you know, whoever is backing you and whoever you feel has guided you in this direction. Because you know what? I feel that the sport truly has become a better place because of veterans like you who are bringing these younger fighters up and teaching them what life is truly about. So with that being said, thank you for coming on my show, and the microphone is yours, my friend.
It's going to be a quick one, because guess what? I want to give the first props out for God, the second, my son, and third, you, and fourth, Bellator. I don't got nobody in my camp like that, homie. I'm rolling over here with the team, bro. So, you know, God is number one, because I wouldn't be where I'm at without him. And I wouldn't have had the drive to make the change in my life if it wasn't for my son. And I wouldn't be able to get this to many, many, many people if it wasn't for you. And I have to thank Bellator for giving me a platform to showcase my son and my skills, because that's where it all started, is when they gave me the opportunity to be recognized on national television for what I do. You know, it started out rough. They bad-mouthed me and said some stuff that was inappropriate, but I took it like a man. That was part of the test. We don't judge a man when he's on top. We judge him when we knock him down. How does he get back up? What does he do when he get back up? So you know what? I just take every day and strive one foot in front of the next, and sometimes I step into a hole or a pile of shit. I dust it off and keep pushing forward. And guys like you, hey, you're my support system. So heal fast, bro. And if you need me to come out there and hang out with you, let me know. I bring some strippers and cigars.
Yeah, well, you know I would, my brother. You know, on that note, I want to thank you, AJ McKee, and Baby Slice for coming on my show this evening. I've got my nurse waiting at my side to take care of my medications for the night. I just want to, truly from the bottom of my heart, thank you guys for blessing my show each and every time. I apologize if it wasn't the greatest show tonight, but the thing of it is,
that's all right.
It comes from my heart. Comes with love.
This was the best show ever. This was the best show ever. Why? Because it was heart and passion and love.
Yes, sir.
Keep it 100.
It truly was. I love you guys. And on that note,
all right, bro, heal fast.
I'm trying, bro. I'm trying. Once I get done with surgery Thursday, you'll be the first person I hit, my brother. And
yeah,
AJ,
call me, man. Call me. Let me know what's up.
Oh, you know I will. AJ, I love you, my brother.
All right.
And congratulations on your win over there in Dublin. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining my show. I'm glad you let me in your family, because I truly feel loved by you, and thank you for making the sport and my life a better place.
Take care.
God bless.